You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. It is right now... right at 11 o'clock, top of the hour, and I am so blessed to be coming to you from WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And, of course, I have trusty Karen Hubbard carrying the team here from WCNO staff today. David is out catching a little breath of refreshment. No fishing, Rabbi. Well, maybe he's fishing for souls. We're not sure, but welcome, Karen.
Good morning.
All of your friends out there.
Yes, good morning to all my friends.
All your friends.
Friends, fans, friends, followers.
That's it. I believe Karen still gets the most fan mail around here, and so we have to give recognition where it's due. So very good. Great to have Rabbi Zamstein with us. And you have just returned from Israel. And first of all, welcome to WCNO. You come around here as often as you like.
An invitation.
Amen. Amen. So, Rabbi, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And you have just returned from Israel.
A couple of weeks ago, I was there for about 9 days total. It was one of the easiest times in the past. I have been grilled by the wonderful security, even though I carry an Israeli passport because I was born there. But they still grill me this time, barely any questions.
Really?
Yeah. I couldn't believe it, how easy it was.
What is your explanation for that? I always tell any groups I'm going with, do not come with your bag of jokes. You need to just shut up and answer questions.
Well, that's the thing. When you deal with the Israeli security, unlike here, they don't care. They will profile you.
Yes, they will.
And they will.
And they need to.
Yeah. And they will ask you questions deliberately to see if you get irked, ired, or anything.
Yeah.
And they will say,
that line.
Over there. And if they have to, they will open up your suitcases. And they won't be nice looking. They will this, and it's then you have to fix it back up.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the typical question was, did you pack your bag, like
right.
most security here? Mm-hmm. I said yes. And
did anyone give you anything?
Yeah, that's it. Enjoy your trip. You know, I gave them my Israeli passport to the security guard because that's part of Israeli law if you're an Israeli citizen. And I can't get away with using my American passport because it says where I was born.
Ah.
And it says Israel.
Right.
And when I've tried it in the past, it says, where's your Israeli passport?
Ah, they want to see your Israeli passport.
You know,
so you have both.
Yeah, so I have both. And also when I'm there, you know, if I buy stuff at stores, gifts to bring either for myself or others, you know, the store for owners says, well, at the airport, you can give the receipt and you'll get your tax back. I said,
and the VAT tax.
And a VAT tax. And I said, that don't work for me because I'm Israeli.
So you don't get a
I
refund.
I don't get that VAT back, you know.
That's nice to get that back.
Yeah, I've done in the past when I've gone and I've had friends who've come with me. I says, put your name on the hotel room. Put your name in the car rental because otherwise I would have to pay above and beyond the normal taxes
additional
that
tax.
you would pay because I can't get away with it.
I'm a little jealous. Karen, you ever been to Israel?
I have not been.
You have not yet. You have not yet. Rabbi, I have to tell you, my oldest son, who is now in his 30s, he was maybe 4 or 5 years old, probably 5 years old when he went the first time. And we tromped the land. We were off the beaten trail. We weren't over there doing the tourist journey. We were off the road.
Yeah.
And one of the things in the Galilee, we stayed at a place of Ered Hagalil, horse ranch that's up off the Galilee. Very nice place.
Yeah.
And then we went and rented these kayaks of sorts to kayak the Jordan River, which was a most wonderful trip for us.
Yeah.
And it was one of those kayaks where it's all buoyant, but water can come through the bottom, you know, if
I've
you're in
that.
Kind of rough water.
Yeah.
Well, that the Jordan River is a little cool.
A little? Especially in the north.
Yes, we were in the north, and, of course, dropping down from Mount Hermon, right?
It's freezing.
Where the ski resorts are. I was shocked when I realized that Israel has from deserts to – they have everything.
That would be like California. You know,
yes.
You got one part that's desert, one part that's regular, one part is mountainous.
Yep.
One part you can go, it's pretty good weather. A lot is like here.
Right.
The Dead Sea area is similar to what Phoenix, Tucson is during the wintertime. Gets cold at night, but during the day can't climb up into the mid-60s. And it's beautiful. But the traffic there, I thought was bad. And 6 years ago, when last time I was there, I mean, it was really horrible. But my friends picked me up at the airport when I arrived, and I spent most of the time with them. I went shopping, groceries, normal stuff they would do over there.
Sure.
But I did go out of the at least a week I was with them. I did go walk the 2-3 miles on the beach there. It was very beautiful. You know, got a beautiful...
That's in Eilat or you were in Tel Aviv?
I was in Ashkelon.
Ashkelon,
yeah,
okay.
The Mediterranean is right
there. Yep.
You know, so I walked the 2-3 miles, got exercise. They fed me pretty good.
Mm.
And I came home thinking, man, I probably gained some weight. But guess what? 3 pounds lost.
You lost 3 pounds. Well, very active.
Well, active.
A lot of walking.
A lot of walking.
Good food.
And the food there, unlike here, is not poisoned. With all the extra stuff they add, subtract, whatever, it's pretty healthy food. And so I enjoyed it. And then I even got a gift that I didn't expect because we were planning to go to Jerusalem on Sunday, the day before I was due to come back. And so my friend took me to the cashier's office right by the bus station to get what's called a Rav card, you know.
Okay.
And basically, for people who take public transportation, they buy ahead of time on a card. So when they get on the bus or the trains like that, they just put it on the receiver thing and click and take the money out. Well, guess what? She said, how old are you, cashier? This, and she spoke in Hebrew. She couldn't speak English. So I was able to speak to her in the Hebrew. And I told her, I'm 72, going on 73, by the way. Monday was my 73rd year on this planet, unless you count the 9 months in my mother's womb. But but I got what the Mandani in New York promised, a free train and bus card for the rest of my life. You know?
Okay, I want to hear you give your age in Hebrew.
Shivim v'shalosh.
Did you get that, Karen? 72 to 73.
No, I said no. Shivim is 70.
70?
Shalosh is 3.
Shalosh is 3. 73.
So, ani ben shivim v'shalosh.
Okay, good.
When they say Ben, you know, I am basically Ben, the son of.
Right.
You know, but, or I could say Gil, Shivim Vishalosh. I am 73 years old as of this past Monday.
Well, I trust the Lord lets me go back to Israel. I'd love to take some more of the kingdom people, because it really is a wonderful opportunity for the Word of God to come alive.
Yeah.
Every time I read through the Gospels, I'm there. Almost all those places I think about. I don't think about going to the churches and cathedrals and looking for splinters of the cross.
Yeah.
I think about the land, the people, the message, and the power of God that was and still is moving.
Yeah.
You know, my son, after we'd been back, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years, he was older, and he said to me one day, "Dad, when are we going to go back to paradise?"
Hmm.
And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You know, paradise." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Israel, Dad, Israel. You know what I'm talking about."
Yeah.
And so that is kind of the way my first trip to Israel was. And I know people have different responses, but for me, my wife and I, both of us felt the same way. We felt like we're home.
Yeah.
And we really wanted to get out and kiss the ground.
Yeah,
that's what
I mean,
we wanted
it's an
to
amazing
do.
Place. You know, for 10 million people average there, you know, as I read, their GDP is ranked between 16 and 27 in the world.
Hmm.
They're ranked number 8 as the happiest people on this planet, despite...
Really?
Despite...
All the war.
The wars, the economy so expensive, like that. But why? Because there is a unity, even though there's disunity, but there's a unity that they know.
Amongst the people.
That they can disagree on a lot of stuff, but when it comes to who they are and why they're there, it's the only place where they can be felt that they can protect themselves. Whereas you've seen in other places, they get attacked and they can't protect themselves.
Well, this is one of the things that was shocking to me going there at that time. There was a lot of unrest, and so a lot of people were armed. And I took a picture, and it's like stuck in my brain of this mother with twin children, mm-hmm. and between this double stroller stuck is this military rifle of some sort. Mm-hmm. And this lady is just... She has bags of groceries and different things in her cart, and she's just wheeling through the market.
Yeah.
And... that so impacted my thinking about security and life in Israel, because it seems so strange. I felt very nervous with all of these people with guns. And then I realized, wait a minute, these people are my friends.
No,
the good guys have guns. That's kind of a good thing. And we always had a wonderful time there, but the spiritual impact to me was just tremendous.
Yeah.
And yet I was with a group of pastors my first trip, where Rabbi, really most of those pastors went because it was a free ride.
Yeah.
It was a trip out of town.
I'll take it.
But yeah. But many of them were dressing in Palestinian garb, and they were pro-Palestinian, and I just could not understand why there was a lack of understanding of the covenant that God had and has with Israel. Rabbi, we want to talk about some things today. First of all, want to just give a little intro on how you came to be a born-again messianic follower of Christ.
Well, my story is that I was born in Israel, basically in the Tel Aviv Jaffa area.
Okay.
Which is they call that in Hebrew Gush Dan, which is basically the area where Dan settled.
Okay.
You know, at the age of about roughly 10 years old, which was in August of 1962, I wasn't yet 10, but close. You know, my parents decided to move to the States, came here, and we were basically traditional European, non-religious.
Okay.
You know, but even though my parents, as children, were very religious, but unfortunately, most Jewish people, when they came out of the Holocaust, if they survived, they either became more faithful to God, or more doubters of why God allowed this. You know, so for my parents, they didn't. I wasn't raised in a synagogue setting. The traditions is mostly typical household traditions. And then at the age roughly of 20, 21, I was walking in college. I was walking, talking with a friend of mine, and we were walking the hallway. And he had stopped because he knew someone who his name was Conrad Cook, who now settled, resides as a retired campus crusader in Pennsylvania somewheres. And he introduced, and he said, started to talk the gospel news, and says, well, I'm not religious, but I am Jewish, and as far as I'm concerned, not for us, you know. So he talked to me, and then he introduced me to a guy later on. His name is John Fisher, who happens to be Jewish. Both parents were also Hungarian Jews who were survivors also. They had tattoos, his parents.
Wow, the numbers.
Yeah, my parents did not, because even though they were survivors, my father, who was in a camp, managed to escape before he was transferred to a death camp. He was in a camp, but not a death camp yet. He managed to escape, and my mother, they were able to escape to Siberia.
So both of your parents were survivors.
Right. So thank God they were not sent to a concentration camp, but they came awful close like that. I know on my father's side of the family, they did lose almost 50 family members in camp, concentration camps. My mother really never wanted to talk to about it, and I haven't had a chance to talk to my other relatives on my mother's side, but I'm a result of a survivor. There, Israel is a place that right now majority of the Jews that are there are not from European background, they're more from Middle Eastern background, because so many Jews, 1948 war, almost 800,000 had to leave. They were forced out by the Arab nations, and slowly they've integrated. It's an amazing, I even saw so many young people, you know, what you would think either Middle Eastern or white Caucasian type, and their girlfriends or boyfriends are Ethiopian Jews.
Wow.
And I'm telling you guys, if you want to find some gorgeous women, those Jews of either Middle Eastern or these Ethiopians, they are gorgeous. I'm telling you, they have this shine on their skin, absolutely gorgeous. And I was there, and I noticed so many also Palestinian Arabs freely walking in the markets, in the supermarkets, working in the markets. This apartheid nonsense that the Western news people is giving. I'm not saying there isn't any bigotry like any other place.
Right, right.
There is, but there they are, picking the king, right in the same places where Jews are. They're in the same shopping centers, same transportation, same buses, same trains. They may have had whatever thoughts, but they were not told, you don't belong here. They talk, they intersperse with each other, not a problem. How open it is, and I was blessed to get this Rav Kav that
awesome.
I could go on
awesome.
These public transportation. I was just amazed at the growth. And as a matter of fact, since I get news from Israel all the time, I read this morning that something new they're, have developed and working on, that they have developed what they can take your own immunity from the blood to fight cancer.
Good plan.
Yeah, so it's amazing what they're doing there. It's truly an innovative country.
So, Rabbi, to kind of I wanted to wrap up you were talking about this Jewish man.
He's still in ministry, by the way.
Okay, so he shared with you?
He also shared. He brought me to his...
What were those scriptures? You've shared some scriptures before that were profound.
He basically described the main things about...
from the prophets.
Who we are, but then the prophets from Isaiah 7, 9, 52, 53, Daniel 9, all these things that say of a future messianic redeemer. Through study, it took me a year to get in my head. I said, you know, there's only one person this sounds like that I heard of, and that's Yeshua, Jesus. You know, so then at that point, at the age of 21, February 1974,
wow.
It was a Friday evening, you know, that I said, I accept him. You know, and it's been a, you know, at first a very slow development in knowledge and growth, and as its time went on, I've grown to love him more, to understand who he was, and that he's truly the King, the Messiah of Israel, and the Redeemer of the world.
And it's more than information. You have a relationship with God through through Yeshua. I love your ministry. I love your people. I love to have the interaction that we're able to have here in the Treasure Coast of Florida. You know, I hear from some of our students that are being taught that Israel today is not biblical Israel, that it's not the land of God's covenant or God's promise, that this is just a political Israel.
Well,
so who is Israel? What is Israel?
Well,
Israel
here's
today?
The thing is that old replacement theology, and now they're using the Galatians 6, the Israel of God. You know, if you're familiar with that, so they're
using this is not
you know, the ancient Israelites. These people are mostly European colonizers and all that. But as you all know, you don't take one scripture out of the Bible and make one thing. So if you say, you bring who is Israel, and you point out, well, what about Romans 9, 10, 11, where Paul says that, yeah, they're not believers. They're, you know, maybe some of the branches are broken up, but they're still beloved of God. And God has blinded them in part. Why? So that the rest of the world has an opportunity to accept him.
Sure.
You know, so they're believing this lie, especially, unfortunately, you know, you got Tucker and what's her name?
Candace
Owens, all accepting this thing. God himself said that he would bring them back in unbelieving state. You know, I mean, if you read, without going too many scriptures, but specifically in Ezekiel chapter 36, 37, he'll bring them back, he'll put on the flesh, and then he'll put the spirit in them. He says, so, I mean, and people just take this one verse and generally throw it out, and colonizer. Who is the original colonizer? If you look at the Arab nations, they're the one to colonize that area.
Right.
That area was not Arab, that was Jewish. They came out in the 6th, 7th century. They conquered and they almost took over the whole world. They had at least a third of the world conquered before they were stopped in the 1500s and pushed back. You know?
So Israel today, it's been a few years since I've been over. And my last five trips that year, and really was so blessed to spend some time with a lot of the Messianic rabbis that are throughout the land, and there are many, many throughout the land. Did you have any opportunity to mix with them? I mean, what
well,
is taking place?
With my friends, specifically.
Okay, good, good.
You know, he had a Messianic congregation over here, and then he had to retire. Because of his voice, it became more painful to speak, and he got over there. He went to doctors here, and none of them could say, just rest and this. He went over there. They diagnosed right away, stage 4 throat cancer.
Wow.
And basically, he has been cancer-free now for about almost 9 years.
Thank God.
Yes, he's had to adjust because besides the chemo, they did radiation therapy. They burnt his epiglottis. For those that don't know what epiglottis, that's the little lid that closes up your
opens and closes.
Entrance into the lungs so food don't go in there and you die from pneumonia. And so he has to be careful how he eats. In one side of his throat, the muscles were basically destroyed, the nerves. So he has to ease, but he's a miracle because the doctor says you may need to have a plug in order to eat.
For feeding.
But he's able to eat through the mouth.
Praise
He has to be careful how he eats it, but he's a survivor. And he also has taken on a mantle of helping a Kenyan Messianic congregation in Kenya.
Awesome.
You know, and while I was there, he had me give a half-hour sermon to these guys during their Shabbat service.
That's awesome.
You know, so, and I prepare it because I know him. Every time I come there, he asked a servant there.
When I was a boy, Rabbi, once a year, Irene Hanley, who was a Jewish follower of Christ, would come to the college for a camp, and she would speak. Mm-hmm. She was the only Jew that I knew that was following Christ. The Word of God, the New Testament's filled with Jewish people that were followers of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. So today, things are so different.
Yep.
So different. There are so many. And, Romans talks about the day of the Gentiles. And to me, it's a door closing, a door opening. And it's a prophetic time. It's this is an exciting time to live. But this is truly a day of the restoration of faith in true biblical sense of the Jewish people, and this is the promise of God. Those bones that were out there in the desert, as the Spirit begins to move upon them, they begin to come back together. And we're not talking about religious information, but we're talking about relational, deep, strong relationships with God through Christ.
Yeah.
And you have that relationship. Yeah. What do you see in Israel and in the United States and other nations? Do you see that call?
There was a survey that was done a few years ago that there are up to 1 million Jewish people, whether they be Jewish through their mother or father, up to 1 million of them are believers.
And, I believe it.
And within our movement, itself, the Messianic Jewish movement, there are up to about 300 plus thousand actively involved. In Israel, they now have about 30,000 Jews who profess to believe. You know, from what I heard from the more elder statesmen, that back in 1948, you can count maybe on your hand how many believers were there. There are now 30,000.
That's awesome.
That they are open about it. It used to be that the army, if they took them in, they didn't keep them for long. They tried to get them this because they were afraid that they would be used by the enemies, you know, to get information.
Infiltrate, sure.
You know, like that. Now they're officers. They're an intelligent opera because they've seen them as loyal Israelis. Like that. And so they're doing quite well. And it's not to say they don't have opposition, but the regular Israelis, they don't care what you believe. As long as you serve in the IDF, you have a loyalty to where you live there, and that the main opposition are the quote, as they call themselves, Jews for Judaism, anti-missionaries, whatever that. And I would recommend, if you go to Israel, don't think that if you go in the streets like you do here, you will get away with whatever information. You better know your stuff.
Right.
Because they may not know everything, but if you happen to meet a Jews for Judaism, they'll know the Bible better than you. And they will show you why they think you are wrong. And if you're not prepared, forget it. You got to know your information.
That's great. That's great. And so, Rabbi, really, we probably need to lean on you and others who are knowledgeable of your people, so that when we do go, I know prepping for a tour to Israel, it's very important to prepare for that and have some guidance and counsel for that. We're almost out of time, but for what is happening in the United States? I mean, you're talking a little bit about what's going on in Israel with Jews and other places in the world. Is there a call of God for the Jews to come back to Israel?
There is a lot of talk, especially now from the rabbis. It says, folks, and I think we may have to think about that we're not as safe here as we used to be. You know, whereas, you know, if we go back early 1900s into the 50s and 60s, there was anti-Semitism.
Right.
But very little, what you would call physical abuse, like what we've seen in the past few years, where these pro so-called Palestinians physically coming against Jews, not just, you know, verbally, but physically,
right.
And a lot of them thinking about maybe it's time to think about seriously to make Aliyah, to go move to Israel.
Now, when Israel left Egypt, they plundered the land.
Well,
hey, God blessed
them,
right,
with favor. That's the English. But in reality, the fear of God
came upon
them. When they came knocking on their doors, because God told them, go knock.
Yeah, it was,
and they gave it to them.
It was God that did it. You know, yeah. It wasn't like they were stealing. They wanted to give it to them. But in reality, as Jewish families do Aliyah, go back to Israel, many of them are bringing with them a lot of wealth.
Yeah,
that they have accrued in other nations. And so, you know, we do have these issues of anti-Semitism that, you know, kicks around in our nation. And do you think that in order for that return to Israel, that there has to be a global level of unrest that
Absolutely.
Would promote the Jews
the
to go home?
Jeremiah said, you know, basically he goes and says, first I'm going to send you fishermen. You know, meaning people to entice you to move back.
Right.
But then if that don't work, then I'm going to send the hunters, meaning the anti-Semitism will build up as such that you will have no choice but to go back home, because ultimately God wants them there to be the priests to the nations, in which they would then be sent out to the world, a few chosen, but the majority of them are supposed to be there as part of God's overall redemptive plan, because they have to be there when the king returns.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so, but there's a lot of things. There's people who do have finances. Some do not, you know, like me. You know, and if anybody wants volunteers to buy a place for me, I'll be gladly accepted. But anyhow.
400,000? No, more.
No.
How much? How much to get an apartment?
Let's put it this way. 6 years ago, the average apartment, which was between 900 to 1,000 square foot, was 400,000. It has climbed to almost 700,000 to $1 million bucks U.S. dollars. So if any of you are multimillionaires and would love to contribute to me buying a place, then I can afford to live there.
An Israeli ministry center.
Yeah, and then I'm not there. Just come approach me. I'll give you the key. You can stay there for a few days, too.
You can disappear, right?
Yeah, I can disappear. Right. But
so this is coming. This is coming.
This is coming.
This is coming.
And unfortunately, that's what you see, the built-up. And you know, it's all satanically inspired, because the one thing, because God promised Abraham that you'll always have descendants. Now, if Satan, in our way of thinking, can prove that there's no Jews, you're not being protected, then God, who's in Numbers 23, says God is not a man that he should lie. When he promised that there was always be descendants and there's no descendants, why should you believe in the promise of a Messiah, a Redeemer? That's his whole thing. But there's still the apple of his eye, according to the scriptures. Zechariah speaks about it. Other Psalm speaks about it. Paul says they're still beloved of God.
Yes.
Even though they a lot of them don't believe, but that's part of the redemptive plan to bring them back first in unbelief, and then they will believe. You know, and then they will say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai.
Rabbi, we're out of time.
Oy vey.
I would love to have you come back and focus on how we as Gentiles can love the Jew first and minister first in this prophetic season we're living in. What does that mean?
Yeah.
And as we close this morning, I know that there are many, many Jewish people that listen into this program because they can.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to go to a church somewhere to do that. So I know they're listening in. But would you just lead us in a time of closing prayer for my heart is for our nation. Obviously, I'm here. I'm in the state of Florida. But seeing that there is an ongoing attack still to stir up hatred against Jewish people, there
and
is
also believers in
and
Yeshua.
Believers as well. And so this is a prophetic time that's of great importance that the church awakens and realizes where we are.
Yes. So, Father, in the name of Yeshua,
thank you, Lord,
our beloved Redeemer, who bought us, who came down in the flesh, who died and rose, who is ultimately waiting for that time when the Father says, okay, time's up. So, Father, we pray, Lord God, for your peace, your shalom. We pray for the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to work, Lord God, to bring many people to the redemptive knowledge of Yeshua, the Messiah, the King, your Son, who came at the right time. So, Father, we pray for a revival, Lord God. We pray for a greater revival than the first and second revival that we had in the 1700s, 1800s, that brought such wonderful blessings of the knowledge of God and all these organizations that brought forth the good news of the Messiah, the good news of food and other things to help people. We pray, Lord God, for a revival in this country, Lord God. Turn this nation, turn the world, Lord God. Father God, so many have turned away from you, but we ask, Lord God, that your spirit will work in them, Lord God, that you would bring a revival. And we pray, Lord God, for protection for the Jewish people that are here and also in Western Europe and wherever they reside, Lord God, that you would protect them and you would inspire them to say, it's time to go back to the land where we came from. So we pray for that in the name of Yeshua, for the Ruach HaKodesh to work in all these things. We pray, Lord God, for also for the spirit of the father of lies who goes about as a roaring lion, Lord God, that his mouth would be shut, Lord God, and the ears of all the people would hear, Lord God, why did they complain about so-called Israel apartheid? Why don't they speak about the Nigerian Christian communities that are being butchered in the name of Islam? So, Father, we pray for this, that the Spirit, your Spirit, would be here and your Spirit would work in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Blessed Thanksgiving to you, Rabbi.
Thank you very much. And the same to you, Chag Hoda'ah Sameach.
We're going to look forward to having you come back real soon. Right after this song, we're going to continue. This is Wednesday Live, WCNO in Palm City, Florida.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain.
And we are so glad you're tuned into WCNO in Palm City, Florida. It is right now 11:40, actually, and the day is moving along. Looks a little partly sunny out there, partly cloudy, I guess you might say. And I have the John Nelson in the studio.
The one and only.
John.
They're my favorite radio people.
I missed you the other day. You came in. I was out of town. No excuse, but...
We were praying for you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You need time off, boss.
Yeah, well, we do. And
you do the prayer and share. You guys are raising money for 2 weeks. Long days. And if you haven't sent your pledge money, please do it.
There you go. Thank you, John.
We need money for this radio station to stay on the air.
We do.
We're in a critical time, people.
We are. And Rabbi was just talking about that, how he just came back from Israel and what all is taking place there. And these are exciting days, but it's a critical moment for us. And so it really is. Well, John, you have a huge event.
We have got our foster kid event December 29th down at Miami Heat Stadium. It's our 11th year with the Heat. We're going to arrange a second trip. We used to do three, but money, everything's expensive. COVID, the Heat, they had to double their prices. They try to give us a good price. Our Coastal bus friends that we met last year, they give us a great rate on the bus. And we're raising money now. So we had a check come in yesterday that covered the event. Now, of course, I want people to know it takes money to help people.
Yes, it does.
It takes money to help girls get insurance on the cars that get donated. It takes money to go and get these girls and guys the help they need. It does. You know, it's not something that comes free. Thankfully, yesterday I was able to wipe out the debt for 2025.
That's awesome, because it's coming right up.
You just
have a few days.
You know, the people that are involved with us financially, a lot of things shifted after COVID. We had people that were covering all the events every year, and then everything that we took in as a donation would go to the kitty to help take care of overhead. And after that, a lot of it shifted. But, you know, things shift, but God's always faithful.
Amen. Well, John, we're kind of getting ahead of things.
Yes. I'm sorry.
We have listeners who do not know who John Nelson is. I know that is shocking to you.
Well, it is.
But, John,
humor.
God's worked in your life in an awesome way. Give us a thumbnail of...
You know, we started Families Against Drunk Driving coming on 12 years ago. There's personal tragedies and a lot of people doing things in our family. I couldn't get any help. The municipality's hands are tied when it comes to this stuff. They can only do so much. So we started Families Against Drunk Driving, and we were doing DUI checkpoints. We were doing DUI awareness with Philip Harvey that got killed right here at the Map Road by that gentleman that owned the bar downtown. For 5 years with that family, we did a huge event with the Martin County Sheriff's Office for DUI awareness, and that would actually be televised. And then when the opiates and heroin came in, we added familiesrecover.org, and we kind of got together with people and said, what name can we use that describes what happens to a family that's torn apart by alcoholism, drug abuse, mental illness?
Why your passion, John? Why is this so passionate to you?
You know, I'm a recovering drug addict.
You
know my story, 38 arrests, prison, eating out of dumpsters. I've done it
Lost
all.
Lost your wife.
Everything. My wife died 7 years ago to heroin, and she was being trafficked. And by the way, I do have permission to say these things on the radio. I cleared it with the parents. But now what we do with the girls on the streets, we try to get them where they need to go. And we just try to give them a new start. And,
there you go.
And men, too.
Yeah.
But it's in Jenny's memory. You know, like last year, we had three cars go. One was donated right here on the radio station. You know, one of your great... Amy called.
Let's talk about that. Somebody may have a car. They may have something that could get turned into cash that could go into families recovery.
What we do is we team up with a lot of female houses. One's Oxford House. They have 119 houses, women's houses up and down the coast. They have bedrooms.
It's called Oxford?
Oxford House.
Oxford House.
Amazing.
Okay.
Houses are clean, remodeled. The rent's appropriate. They have programs to help them pay their first month's rent. They get them their food stamps. They get them... And they strive to get, if you got a license issue, you got to get your license fixed. They don't let them sit on their laurels.
Get
they
you back
get
on your
jobs.
Feet.
And a lot of times now what the problem is we're getting them past what they needed to do legally to get their kids back, but we don't have affordable housing. So without affordable housing, these parents can't get their kids back.
Wow.
So that's a crisis that we're trying to work on.
Okay. So you have an event coming up on the 29th, and so prayer for that event.
Absolutely.
How many
We have
children
probably
are going?
80 going at this point, 55 on their bus.
So we're going to be talking about coastal travels. Travels. Okay. Coastal travels.
We met them last year by chance. I was going through bus companies. We've used a few different ones. And I stumbled onto these guys, and we started talking, and they said, we're going to give you a discount because of what you're doing. You are a nonprofit. And then we met, and I met the husband and a new driver. We got a brand-new driver of this big old bus taking us to Miami.
You do?
Oh, yeah. Last year. He's co-piloting. He's sitting in the middle. So we're navigating the streets of Miami during an event. It was like, she did awesome.
Wow.
You know, but we found out that they're a Christian organization. They try to reach out and help people like we do.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what business you're in. You can help somebody. You know, that's what God wants us to do, right?
So we actually have, are you all the principals, the owners of Coastal Travel?
Yes, my name is Scott.
Let's make sure we get everything on here. Let's get you on air. How's that? Let's see if that works.
Sure. My name is Donna Owens.
Donna Owens,
yes,
welcome to WCNO and welcome to all of our big, huge family.
I'm so excited to be here.
Great to meet you.
And then my husband, Doug Owens, is here also. But we own Coastal Bus Lines.
Excellent.
And we just are acquiring a new company, Coastal Travels.
Okay.
We've been in business since 2016.
Okay.
And when John reached out to me last year and told me what the organization was about, Families Recovers, I was like, you know what? I said, we're going to have to help too. So offered him a nice sizable discount. And then, you know, for charity, you know, and whatever we can do to help John, you know, get these kids to where they want to be and, you know, just for them to have fun and a good time.
And it's
just
not a broken down bus.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This is brand new equipment.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at this and I'm like, hey.
They really bless these guys.
I can see the king traveling in this thing here, you know?
It's a chariot with a clean bathroom.
That is absolutely awesome.
If you've ever been on a Greyhound.
We have 56 passenger buses. We have van service. We have everything. So whatever John needs and any other community out there that wants to reach out to us, we are more than welcome to partner up. And
how do people find you? What's your web?
We're at coastalbuslines.com.
Okay.
We're on Facebook also. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. Just coastalbuslines.com. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Coastalbuslines.com.
Yes,
okay.
Sir. Yeah.
And what kind of transport do you do? Do you just do groups?
We do. Like I said, we have the 56 passenger buses.
Okay.
We also have 14 passenger vans.
Oh, okay.
So
if a church has a mission group flying out of Miami
or
out of Orlando you're a company that they could call and get a hold of and find out more.
Yes, we've done several churches throughout the area from West Palm all the way up here to Port St. Lucie.
Excellent.
We'll take them to whatever their banquets that they have, their Christmas functions that they have. So we took them to SeaWorld.
Great.
We take them to SeaWorld. So, yes, we deal with a lot. Yes.
Wow, for all you pastors and youth pastors out there, I remember all the days we always planned to break down. Bring the footballs, you know, you bring extra food, you plan to be broken down somewhere. If you didn't get broken down, you're like, wow, you know, this was truly an anointed trip. But this is great, and it's really great to have both of you in the studio, Doug and Donna, today. Owens, last name.
Yes.
Great to have you with us, and great to know that your service is available. And so, John, this is going to be year number two for you.
Number two with this
with this group.
Line.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is going to be your 11th or 12th year.
This will be our 11th with the Heat.
11th with the Heat. Okay.
Yeah.
So, John.
Against Denver Nuggets. It's a good one.
Amen.
The kids are excited.
You know, I'm always going to ask you for a recent story of God's grace in somebody's life, because somebody might be listening today. And they may say, there's no hope for me.
I had a friend of mine this morning. He just picked up a year medallion. I was able to give it to him. Grew up in this town. Both of his mom and dad were drug dealers. So you know that he was in the foster system off and on.
Wow.
For a long time. And this is a short version. At 16, he got emancipated. At 19, he owned his own house. But there was so much drugs, his grandparents were drug dealers. And the story goes on where he abandons his kids. He goes up and flees Florida for the same reason I did, criminal. And here he is back, a business owner, a homeowner, a three-year-old baby. And this year he spent 3 months with his son that he abandoned. Right?
That's awesome.
See, that's restoration.
Yeah.
And we're in the restoration business. And if we're not trying to lift somebody up out of the ashes. Now, I've had tragedy. I've had seven people in the last month. I have two that we had a lot invested in. And, you know, it was personal to me. It was like getting gut punched. And you're a pastor.
Wow. Yeah.
And you're a mom. And everyone in this room has seen that type of.
Yeah.
It broke my heart.
Yeah.
It broke my heart. I promised this family that this person was ready. It doesn't matter what the mechanics behind it. Most of them I get out of hotels. So anyone listening that's had these issues in their family know what I'm talking about. And thought it was going in the right direction, met someone else, got into a relationship, bam, right back out using.
Yeah.
And someone else that we had helped substantially 6 months sober went back out. People don't realize that they're dying out there. You know, this fentanyl stuff is no joke. Now they're putting tar. There's a horse tranquilizer now that they're missing in this, mixing up in the fentanyl. Well, Narcan won't overset it. So if you're overdosing on this, whatever. Whoever's listening to Junkie knows what I'm talking about. You can't overturn it with Narcan. So you're dead. You're dead.
Wow.
It's 300 a day in the United States of America. Even with all the stuff that's going on, the awareness and the rehab centers making billions of dollars, it's just a, it's still an epidemic that's not even talked about on TV anymore. So,
Doug, we see a few upsetting. Boats blowing up. You know, we hear about
the banned fentanyl in America.
We hear these things going on, but on the streets,
wild
death is still taking its toll
on a daily.
Well, we need you, John. We need you out there.
They don't even report it. The fire departments used to show how many overdoses a day.
Right.
They've blocked that. I mean, because they don't want people to know the truth. And if you got a family member out there right now that needs help, please call me. We've got facilities that will let you in with no money. You know, and after you detox, you can get some extended care. But this is no joke. And if you're not ready, keep doing what you're doing. You know, I'm sober a while, and I know that if I'm not ready, I'm probably going to go back out to the same stuff.
Yeah.
You know, people, places, and things. And that's what happened in this situation with these two. And I'm like...
Tragic. Give your webpage and your phone number again, John. I know a lot of people have it, and I know a lot of people have called it.
772-285-5828. We do Impact Partner on this radio station, so my phone number is...
On air?
On air all the
or
time.
Or you can
I'm
call us anytime.
These guys, this is if you call the station, they'll give you my real phone number, and it's www.familiesrecover.org. And if we really could use some finances, I mean, just because we just got out of 25 debt-free, there's months that I'm paying.
Yeah, out of radio. Your pocket.
I'm paying pocket. The website. But I'm an avid believer that, and you know what? I haven't even had to take that money back.
Mm.
Because God's always blessing.
God's taking care of you.
My pockets always have money in them. Not that much. Don't listen to that. Still donate.
So, John, you know, being a business partner here, the starting level, and that's where you came in, and that's where you are. It's $140 a month.
It's you could not. We were just talking about Clear Channel. Well, I shouldn't say that. Anyway, I've used to go and do stuff on Way FM and Joy FM. I can't afford it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money a month.
And we reach into 12 counties.
Exactly.
We are covering one-third of the state of Florida with this signal. One-third of the state of Florida.
And for small businesses like Coleslaw, I'll just tell them.
Or big businesses.
Big businesses.
Yeah.
I mean, where are you going to get that kind of coverage with a signal this strong that's actually making a difference in your community?
That's it.
We're making a difference in the community as a team, as a tribe, right? This isn't done by one person. People are like, you helped so many people. No, we've helped a lot of people.
And I love that about you and about your ministry. You're always networking and you're always giving credit to other organizations.
Absolutely.
Because this is the body of Christ.
That's right.
This is the way we work. We're not all hands.
I mean,
we're not all
Hope
feet.
And Project Lift, they work with kids and troubled families. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not knowing how many thousands of turkeys that Elevate Hope gave out for this Thanksgiving for people that are, don't have nothing in this county, people, right. teachers living in their cars. Mm-hmm. There's help. You just got to call and find out. I can get, I got a network. You said the words. Yeah. Call the phone number, whatever you need. I had a lady that went blind. She has a disease, and she called me. I actually rode all the way back from Tampa heart transplant last week, 3 hours on the phone, because she has a husband that's in addiction. And she's praising God, even though her sight left 3 years ago. I don't know if I'm capable of that.
Yeah.
Right? Take my sight today, and let's see where my faith lies.
Well, we don't all have to walk the same, and carry the same cross, right?
So, not at all.
Yeah, so God gives grace to someone like that.
Absolutely.
God gives grace to you and gives you a place to serve the significant.
I mean, WCNO is a platform. I mean, they allow you allow us to bring other businesses in to talk,
sure.
especially if they're
sure.
on the right page. Even if they're not on the right page. You hope that you're touching somebody's heart enough to know that the answer is God. The answer is Jesus. Now, if that offends people, and I have people in my life that I can't talk about it. I can't go on the streets and talk to a girl that's out there selling herself for a couple of years, God bless her soul, and throw the Bible in her face. Because she's probably been abused by the Bible. She's probably been abused by her dad. I can't approach her like that because it's unapproachable. I got to be down on her level like Jesus did at the well.
Yes.
And I use that a lot when we're dealing with that situation. I said, you're forgiven.
Amen.
You're forgiven.
Well, in order for your ministry to work, it takes other people coming alongside of you.
Absolutely.
In order for Doug and Donna's business to work, it takes people coming alongside of them.
Absolutely.
So once again, you met Doug and Donna and Owens and... they have a great business, Coastal Travels, and coastalbuslines.com. And so one more time, tell us how you got connected, and then we want to give a little more information about Coastal before we run out.
We were shopping for a new bus line for the heat. Because a
transport.
We were looking for transport. A lot of the bigger companies that really prices went way up.
Put the prices up. Now, you would be moving from what area? You're traveling?
Well, we're traveling from the Treasure Coast down to Miami and then back.
Big.
I mean, that ain't a
big
short
drive.
Yep. It's a big drive.
Yeah.
You know, and you're taking kids and you're taking families. You want them to be safe.
Equipment. Safe, for sure.
So we met and we started talking, Doug and I, and the driver was new, and we gave that story already. But, you know, we're God-fearing people. I want to partner with people that are making a difference in the community, and their businesses thrived because of that model.
That's awesome. Well, I'm having a thought that we're going to have Doug and Donna back
Absolutely.
In and just talk to you all about your God story.
Oh, yes, sir.
You didn't just start yesterday with a bus like this. I mean, this is really awesome. And so I'm sure you have a story of how God's worked in your life.
Of course we do.
And, you know, our people love to support and come alongside of people who have Christian businesses, Christian business owners. And, you know, this is a great way for us to lift each other up together. So once again, your home base is where?
In Port St. Lucie.
Yes, oh, you're in Port St. Lucie.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yes, we've been here for over 10 years.
Awesome.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yes.
And do you have a connection with a local church, local congregation?
We do. Is the St. Episcopal in Port St. Lucie.
Port St. Lucie.
We do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We do a few that's in West Palm.
Okay.
And then most of the communities.
The
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Most of the Catholic churches.
Yep. So
we
you do a lot of transport.
Mm-hmm. We do a lot of transport. Yes,
excellent.
Sir.
Excellent. Karen, you've been kind of quiet. I haven't given you much time to jump on air.
That's right. She's thinking about jelly, cranberry, or seeded
donuts.
Yeah.
cranberry sauce. Now I'm just taking everything in. It's always great to have John here. You know, just you always feel really encouraged again because he's out there every single day, you know, really ministering to people. And, you know, you don't stop.
No.
You don't stop.
And even in needing a heart transplant.
I know.
You know,
know
what taught
amazing.
Me that? I had a lot of people in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous that have gone through cancers, leukemias, lungs, eyes. You know, just and yet one thing that I've learned is they never complained.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, last year my buddy Chris actually bought a place because of the meeting we have on the river and here from Long Island. He got cancer 2 days before he died. Throat cancer took him in 6 months. 2 days, he calls me on the phone. He goes, I'm really concerned about how you feel.